Salas, Emeritus Professor of History at Pomona College in Claremont, California. You can go to our website for our interview with him in Spanish at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
When they separated families, we took them to court and won. When they limited access to essential health care, we fought the bans and won. And now they're determined to reverse more of our hard-won rights and freedoms. But if they try to take away our rights, they've got to get past us. We are the American Civil Liberties Union, and we will fight any attempts to roll back our rights in the courts, in state legislatures, and in the streets.
When you're surrounded by oppressive laws, you can't just sit back and be oppressed. You get up and fight. And all of us at the ACLU are fighting for you.
Right now, the ACLU's work is more important than ever. The ACLU is fighting in the courts and advocating in all 50 states to ensure that all of us can exercise our rights. To learn more about ACLU's work defending our civil liberties, go to myaclu.org.
And right now, you are located at WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM as well as 107.3 FM, or perhaps you're listening to us over the internet at WUSB.FM. No matter which you choose, it's 6 o'clock, it's a Tuesday, and it's time for another edition of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello, everyone.
Well, what can we say? The world is nuts. The world is crazy. We have some difficult things to address here. Some really difficult things. I've never seen it like this before. But, hey, we're all here together, and we're all going to get through it together. That's my hope. That's all I have left, really. And, of course, we had an assassination last week. We had an actual assassination of someone who I would consider to be a political leader, because they certainly were talking to the political crowd. And I don't doubt that Charlie Kirk would have been a candidate for something in the years ahead. I'm not happy about that. I wouldn't have been happy about that because of the positions that he took. But one thing I just want to make clear, and I think, you know, we've made this clear from the moment it happened, is that assassination is a horrible, horrible thing. And this never should have happened. And while I don't agree and in many cases condemn the feelings and the opinions, I do sympathize with the loss. And I think anybody really can say at least that much. Now, you know, when you start pushing people to go beyond that and say, well, you must mourn, you must lower your flag, you must do all these things. No, that's not what we're saying at all. You know, think of this whole thing however you wish. But if we embrace violence, if we embrace silencing those that we disagree with, we have lost. We have lost whatever it is we think we're standing for. And if you're one of these people that is celebrating this in any way, we are not on the same side. So I just want to make that very, very clear. Now, you know, that can always change when war starts. You know, for instance, Ukraine, Russia, I don't think people are saying, I feel bad about those Russians we killed. I don't think the Russians are saying, well, I feel bad about those Ukrainians that died. There comes a point where you get used to it. You get used to the death. You get used to the brutality. And it doesn't matter anymore. We don't have that here. Not yet. There are people who seem to want that. And I want as much distance between them as possible. But right now, we are still at a stage where we can at least talk to each other. And, you know, even though I, again, disagree, condemn, whatnot, a lot of what Charlie Kirk was advocating, and we're going to get into some of that in a moment, he was having a dialogue. And that's supposed to be what it's all about. Now, the dialogue he was having, you know, it wasn't exactly a fair dialogue. He is he was an accomplished debater, and he could defeat you even if he was saying the sky was orange. It's basically when you are trained to debate, you can win almost any argument. A lot of people took the bait. A lot of people came on stage and debated him with little experience. That's why it appears that he won so many times. But it's an easy thing to do. You know, if you argue with somebody who isn't prepared with facts or doesn't know how to shut somebody down or make them feel self-conscious, then you're going to appear to win. And I think that's what we see way too often. And I do know a lot of people can't argue. And, you know, that's not a crime. But a lot of us have difficulty with differences of opinion. And it can be hard because it requires a lot of tolerance, a lot of patience, a lot of listening to a lot of garbage before you get to make your point. And then you have to fight to make your point. It's frustrating. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. I think the reason why Charlie Kirk had such a following is because he was able to make it appear that he was tolerant, listening to everybody, giving everybody a chance, and then defeating them. Of course, you know, like I said, when you have the skill, it's not hard to do. It's like, you know, a baseball player, you know, doing a home run derby against a bunch of high school kids. It's going to win. Yeah, he gave them a chance, but boy, did he kick their asses. So, you know, a lot of what Charlie Kirk stood for was truly reprehensible. Let's just be honest there. And no different from the current administration. In fact, in many cases, it was something that inspired the current administration. And maybe that's what made him such a divisive and feared figure. But it's still a terrible road that we have gone down. And we'll get into who is alleged to have been responsible, et cetera. There's a lot to talk about here. Now, he was known for his repudiation of liberal college education and embrace of pro-Trump conspiracy theories. He promoted the cultural Marxism conspiracy theory. He called universities islands of totalitarianism. And just in case I forgot to mention, we are coming to you from the island of totalitarianism known as the State University of New York at Stony Brook, and damn proud of it. He said that when he applied for nomination to the United States Military Academy in West Point, New York, and he was not accepted, the slot he considered went to a far less qualified candidate of a different gender and a different persuasion. That is what he said, whose test scores he claimed he knew. I mean, that is absurd on its face right there, that you would know who you lost your slot to. It doesn't work that way. I mean, I'm not in charge of admitting people to anything, but I know that much. I know you don't get a letter in the mail saying, oh, sorry, Bobby, you didn't get into college. Here's the person who did instead of you with their test scores, too. No, it doesn't work that way. He told The New Yorker in 2017 that he was being sarcastic when he said that. Funny, he didn't seem to know the definition of what sarcasm is. That's not sarcastic. That's just lying. He told the Chicago Tribune a year later that he was just repeating something he'd been told. This is the anatomy of a lie. This is how lies work. You say one thing, you say another thing, and it just becomes a folk legend.
This sounds strangely like George Santos' sort of his run.
Oh, my God, you're right. It does, doesn't it? he said he was repeating something he'd been told while at a New Hampshire Turning Point event, Turning Point being the name of his organization, featuring Rand Paul in October 2019. That's when he claimed he never said it at all. Okay, whatever. He also promoted debunked claims about George Floyd, saying that he was illegally counterfeiting currency, had once put a gun to a pregnant woman's stomach on Facebook, YouTube, and Rumble. That one I'm not familiar with. Charlie Kirk repeatedly promoted the false claim that the medical examiner in George Floyd's case, who performed the autopsy, said that Floyd had died of an overdose. After a fact check by AFP that noted the doctor stood by the classification of Floyd's death as a homicide, corrections were added to his post on social media. In other words, change history a little bit. Change what you said. In July of 2018, Charlie Kirk falsely claimed on social media that U.S. Justice Department statistics showed an increase in human trafficking arrests from 1,952 in 2016 to 6,087 in the first half of 2018. He deleted the tweet without explanation the next day after a fact checker had pointed out that the false 2018 number had originated on the conspiracy site 8chan. In December of 2018, Kirk falsely claimed that protesters in the French Yellow Vest movement, remember that, chanted, "We want Trump." These false claims were later repeated by Trump. So many times he would say something and Trump would just repeat it because he repeats whatever he hears. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's almost funny. It really is, except for the fact that the world's most powerful person is being influenced and steered by these lies. Now, ahead of the 2020 presidential election, Kirk spread falsehoods about voter fraud, and immediately after Trump lost, he promoted false and disproven claims of fraud in the election. On November 5th, 2020, he led a Stop the Steal protest at the Maricopa Tabulation Center in Phoenix. He was considered a big-name social influencer in Rudy Giuliani's communications plan to overturn the 2020 election. In August of this year, he called for the elimination of Jasmine Crockett's congressional district as a part of the 2025 Texas redistricting, justifying the erasure of her district by claiming she was part of an attempt to eliminate the white population in this country. So you see, it goes from the absurd and almost funny to the very dangerous. You know, saying that an African-American representative wants to eliminate the white population in this country. People are going to believe that. You know, the idiot in chief is going to believe that, sure. But average, everyday people are going to believe it as well. And it might drive them to take some sort of action. It's a very ugly road that we go down. Now, in 2020, Kirk spread false information and conspiracy theories about, guess what, COVID-19 on social media platforms, sharply criticized Democrats, criticized Democrats' criticism of Trump's withdrawal of WHO funding, and called COVID-19 the China virus, which, of course, Trump retweeted. He alleged that the World Health Organization covered up information about the COVID-19 pandemic, which makes absolutely no sense when you think about it. He was briefly banned from Twitter. Remember those days? Yeah, when saying ridiculous, harmful, insightful rhetoric could actually result in consequences. Now it's encouraged. He was briefly banned from Twitter after falsely claiming that hydroxychloroquine had proven to be 100% effective in treating the virus. I mean, do you have any idea how dangerous it was for people to believe that? It could kill people. And it could certainly prevent people from seeking actual health care. He alleged that Gretchen Whitmer, the Democratic governor of Michigan, threatened doctors who tried to use the medication. These falsehoods were then retweeted by Rudy Giuliani, whose account was then also suspended. In defending Trump's response to the pandemic, Charlie Kirk falsely stated that during the 2009 swine flu pandemic, it took Barack Obama's millions to be infected and over 1,000 deaths before he declared a public health emergency. But in fact, when the Obama administration acknowledged the World Health Organization's declaration of a public health emergency on April 26 of 2009, there were less than 280 cases of H1N1 reported in the U.S., and the first condemned death of a Mexican toddler on vacation occurred the next day, April 27th. He called the public health measure of social distancing prohibitions in churches a Democratic plot against Christianity. And made the, I mean, how does that even make sense? And made the unfounded assertion that authorities in Wuhan, China, were burning patients. Doesn't say if they're alive or dead. In 2020, he said he refused to abide by mask requirements because the science around masks is very questionable. In July of 2021, he promoted misleading claims about the efficacy and safety of COVID-19 vaccines. On Fox News' Tucker Carlson's show, he called mandatory requirements for students to take the COVID-19 vaccine medical apartheid. He called for parents to protest at schools, etc., etc. LGBTQ issues. Now, according to an NBC News report last year, Charlie Kirk was relatively secular liberal regarding LGBTQ rights in the United States in 2018, but shifted toward more religious conservative stances. On January 21st of this year, he praised Trump for revoking Executive Order 14004, which had allowed transgender people to serve openly in the military, and said, "Sorry, if you're Jeff and you think you're Jill, you are not going to serve in the U.S. military. Go find something else to do." Disgusting. On March 19th of this year, when U.S. District Judge Anna Reyes issued an injunction blocking the ban, Kirk denounced the decision, saying, "Now, a district court judge ordering the U.S. military to continue enlisting mentally delusional transgender troops is justifying her ruling by quoting the musical Hamilton." I don't know what that's all about. He said in November of 2019 that "I believe marriage is one man, one woman." Many people, many Republicans have certainly said that. He called the LGBTQ activists the Alphabet Mafia, claiming the movement is not just about two dudes being able to get married, but a national takeover of our laws. Argued that conservatives mistakenly thought the issue of same-sex marriage would end after the ruling, instead concluding that they are not happy just having marriage and want to corrupt your children. So you see, hidden within all these funny bits are very serious bits, where people are targeted, where people are made to feel appear as the threat, and where other people will feel inspired to do something about that threat. You know, we're not just talking about voting for somebody you don't like. We're talking about destroying the very fabric of your existence, of your society. And that's why you see people breaking into homes of elected representatives and hitting their husbands with hammers. That's why you see assassinations of elected officials in Minnesota. That's why you see plots to kidnap governors in Michigan, et cetera. The list goes on and on and on. And it's disgusting how we ignore that. Yesterday it was brought up to Trump at a news conference about flying the flag at half-mast, which he has ordered for Charlie Kirk. And again, that only applies for federal buildings. There are threats actually being issued by attorney generals saying, you must lower your flag. No, it's not true. You can do whatever you want with your flag. But in that particular case, the Minnesota elected official who was assassinated this year, along with his wife, along with her husband, I'm sorry, he didn't even know about it. He didn't know their names. He didn't seem to know anything about it. And that's disgusting that something like that can happen in this country, not even be acknowledged. But that's where we're living right now. So continuing here, in 2021, Charlie Kirk said, the facts are that there are only two genders. Transgenderism and gender fluidity are lies that hurt people and abuse kids. In 2023, he said that transgender women in women's locker rooms should be taken care of the way we used to take care of things in the 1950s and 60s. Well, there you go, right there. A clear allusion to the brutality used against people in the civil rights movement. A call for violence. No question. You cannot hide on this. I mean, I can go on. Okay, there's the whole abortion thing where he said that having legal abortion in this country is worse than the Holocaust. You know, how do you say something like that and not be widely condemned? Well, it takes a certain amount of blindness to just ignore something like that. But it's there. It's recorded. It all happened. And then, of course, there is the very unfortunate quote. And I take no delight or joy in this. Maybe some people are, and they're horrible people if they're doing that. But it is true. It is true. He said that I think it's worth it. I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. And definitely an irony there. Again, all that said, something like this should never happen. And I truly hope that is the end and this does not turn into something that we get used to, ever. Now, on to the second part of all this, the recriminations, you know, the reaction. I think that scares me more than anything. The speed with which people in positions of authority were casting blame as to who was responsible. Now, right now, as of this moment, as of Tuesday, the 16th of September, the culprit who was caught, or turned in, actually, he was not registered with a political party. He was not a Democrat. And in fact, he didn't even vote in the last election. Now, if you were somebody who was, as they're saying in the government right now, radicalized by the left, well, wouldn't you vote against Trump? You know, it's kind of the most important election in our history. And the guy just sat it out. He was brought up in a right-wing Republican gun-toting household in Utah, where nobody in the family was a Democrat. these things really don't matter. They're not that important. But the only reason I'm drawing attention to them is because this is what is being talked about at the press conferences, at the addresses. And it's putting people almost literally in the crosshairs. And it's scary because we're seeing people who are saying relatively innocuous things being targeted by mobs of people for daring to criticize something Charlie Kirk said. Or even there are people who are simply quoting Charlie Kirk and being targeted because they're using his own words against him. Yeah, kind of a dickish move, I guess, but you can do that in this country. Lord knows we have plenty of proof of that. But, you know, it's pretty obvious that everything that has been said in the heat of emotion by people who really, you would think, would know how to control those emotions, it's pretty much all been proven not to be true. This guy wasn't radicalized by the left. Where? What evidence? Nothing has been put forth except for the fact that he's alleged to have had a romantic relationship with his transgender roommate who was transitioning from male to female. And with that information, the conclusion is that, in fact, if he was radicalized by anybody, it was Charlie Kirk. It was his own words that filled him with the emotion to commit this horrible crime. Because he saw somebody he cared about being threatened. And that is another horrible irony in this story. And it also, it should serve as a warning to everybody that words matter. You know, if you say something, you might be inspiring somebody to do something on your behalf, but you might also be inspiring somebody to do something against what you want because you're saying something truly horrible or something truly threatening. And I should point out that the transgender roommate in question is actually the key to the entire case and has been cooperating with the authorities from the very beginning. Kind of throwing this whole, they're a threat and they're mentally unstable, all that nonsense that we're forced to hear every single damn day. Well, that's obviously complete. What word can I use instead of the word I want to use? Well, just not true. It's definitely not true. But I want to focus on something that Trump did. He went on Fox News last week and this story might have been overshadowed a bit because of the aftermath of the assassination. But I want you to listen to these words. In the interview that he did on Friday morning, he admitted that there are radicals on the right. That's a good thing, right? Okay, well, let's listen. We have radicals on the right as well. I'm sorry, I'm quoting the reporter here. Ansley Earhart. We have radicals on the right as well. We have radicals on the left. How do we fix this country, was the question. Here's Trump's reply. I'll tell you something that's going to get me in trouble, but I couldn't care less. I think, Kyle, I think he might have said, I could care less, which is one of my pet peeves. And they corrected it here. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. The radicals on the right oftentimes are radical because they don't want to see crime. They're saying, we don't want these people coming in. We don't want you burning our shopping centers. We don't want you shooting our people in the middle of the street. The radicals on the left are the problem. Wow. I mean, just let that sink in. He has acknowledged that there are radicals on the right, as many law enforcement agencies and hate group followers have already concluded. The far right is the problem. If you add up violence, it's orders of magnitude higher on the right. This is just a fact that is easy to prove. But he's saying that's justified because the people on the left are the true problem. And I struggle to find examples to point to. I mean, sure, you can look at a riot in a city. You can look at people burning tires at an intersection. I'm not sure what makes that left wing. You know, most times when something like that happens, there's not much of a political message being expressed. Whereas, you know, when you march on the Capitol or shoot political leaders, there's a political message there, most definitely. I know they keep going back to the baseball game where that guy Scalise was shot. How long ago was that? That was over a decade ago, wasn't it? I mean, it's a horrible thing. And yeah, it shows that it's possible. Sure, no one's denying that. But if you're going to start adding things up, you have to look at the facts. And, you know, another fact, the person who shot Trump last year was not a Democrat. They keep saying they are. They were not. Luigi Mangione, not a Democrat. And if you even look into what he has said, if you care enough to do that, you will see he was not spouting any kind of left-wing theory in any sense. He was mad at the insurance companies. Period. People on the right are mad. People on the left are mad. He was not a Democrat. Almost every time where they point the finger and say, this person is a product of the far left, it's pretty easy to prove them wrong. So, as I mentioned, the exchange, the words from Trump from Friday were vastly overshadowed by the arrest of the shooter. But whatever more we learn about Robinson, this comes from a piece in the New Republic. Whatever more we learn about him, the Trump moment mustn't skate by unnoticed. Though Trump has encouraged right-wing political violence for years, including inciting a violent insurrection, pardoning hundreds of supporters for it, he has also been known to rhetorically denounce political violence from both sides at key moments, or has gone through the motions of doing so. But now, Trump has broken with even that ritual, one enacted by presidents in both parties for decades. I couldn't care less about radicals on the right, he explicitly said, declaring straight out that right-wing extremism is justified as a response to the alleged extremism of the left. And that is likely to be received as a clear message by radical right-wing forces across the country. Kirk's assassination has triggered many on the right to call for full-scale violent civil conflict. Charlie tried to have conversations with you on the left, and you killed him for it, said influencer Matt Walsh, calling on the right to fight back in response. The TikTok group Libs of TikTok scream, "This is war." This is what they want. This is what these people want. Violence and armed conflict, you name it. It's what they live for. But you have to look far and wide to find liberals and Democrats who are of that mindset. Not to say that there aren't a lot of people with wacky ideas, but they tend to be on the fringe. They don't tend to be leading the party. And in this particular case, when you can't separate these wackadoodle theories and statements from the White House itself or from the halls of Congress, well, you got a problem. You got a serious problem. So Jared Holt tracks extremist activity for the online research group Open Measures, and he said that statement is basically a permission slip. Trump's statement offers permission to broader mainstream audiences to write off the importance of radical right-wing violence, but it's also aimed at right-wing extremist activity itself. It's very likely radical right groups that talk about Trump's statement are going to view it as an indirect endorsement. And that's the scariest part of all this. Seeing the hatred in Stephen Miller's face the other day when he's talking about people on the left. Our esteemed Vice President, J.D. Vance, hosted Charlie Kirk's podcast. And he had Stephen Miller on. Miller said, "The thing about anger is that unfocused anger or blind rage is not a productive emotion. But focused anger, righteous anger, directed for a just cause, is one of the most important agents of change in human history." I can easily see that being quoted at Nuremberg 2 one day. He spoke about the need to uproot and dismantle these terrorist networks. You know, what terrorist network are you referring to? I'd like to know the name of one of them. And don't say Antifa. And we can't even figure out how to pronounce it. We don't know how to pronounce it. It's not a group. It's an ideology. There are no meetings. There's no membership hierarchy. Nothing. He described these terrorist groups as the organized doxing campaigns. Wow. The organized riots. Organized riots? I don't think they're that organized. The organized street violence, the organized campaigns of dehumanization, vilification, posting people's addresses. Oh boy, wow. That's living mortal fear of that. Combining that with messaging designed to trigger, incite violence, and the actual organized cells that carry out and facilitate the violence. It's a vast domestic terror movement. Speaking of doxing campaigns, there have been a number of sites that have popped up doxing people who have said anything online that has been deemed unacceptable about Charlie Kirk. And these people have received death threats and have been fired from their jobs. Now, look, if you're saying insensitive, horrible things, yeah, people are going to get angry and you're an idiot. I agree with that. But this intimidation tactic, which, you know, I don't approve of no matter what side it's coming from, that is, you know, you're particularly hypocritical if you claim to be the victim for years and then do the exact same thing yourself. And that is what we saw in the last few days. A lot of these sites have been taken down because some of them have been really illegal and inciting violence and all that. Oh, Miller had more to say, by the way. I didn't want to cut him off. "With God as my witness, we are going to use every resource we have at the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, and throughout this government to identify, disrupt, dismantle, and destroy these networks and make America safe again. For the American people, it will happen, and we will do it in Charlie's name." And that is the fear here, that there is all this power. You see, people on the left never seem to have the power. But the people in charge now, boy, do they have a lot of it. And if they can paint this picture that there is some kind of conspiracy to kill this guy and that the left is the source of all the violence, you might just get the American people on your side. And it's not that hard to do. You know, you throw around a few statistics, mess around with the numbers a little bit, people might actually start to believe the garbage you're spewing. We've seen it happen before. So this is something to be extremely worried about, because I see people today who are afraid to even express themselves in any sense. And that is the first step. Look, we haven't gotten through a single year of this regime yet. We have over three to go. And if we have deteriorated to this state this quickly, I can't imagine what is going to happen in the years ahead. But I do know we can't just sit back and let it happen. We can't just sit back and say, well, that's the way it goes. No, this is our country. This is our democracy. This is something that, you know, it's going to be 250 years old next year. And boy, that's going to be an ironic anniversary. I don't know how I'm going to feel about that.
I was just thinking that same thing to like half the things you brought up that just are very emotional and reactive. I just keep thinking like, what? This is America. Like, no, we're not doing that. Like, dream on.
I think that's the right approach. I mean, you know, don't give up America. Don't give up the country to these people that are using bullying tactics. And that's exactly what this is a bullying tactic. Again.
Well, it's collective punishment also comes to mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's like, that's really backwards in the sense of justice. Like, you have someone that made a transgression. They were caught. There's a process. Utah seems to have a handle on it. There's federal oversight, as is the case in any situation like this. And the determination of that process will stand, period.
Mm-hmm.
One person, that was it. And the like call for all this other stuff, it just seems extrajudicial, like extrajudicial, like overreach.
Mm-hmm.
But... And also the antithesis of what that story 250 years has been about. And to try to make people believe otherwise is silly. I'm not to laugh at things. Like, I don't want to be humorous or like, I'm not trying to be funny about it. And I don't think people's reaction is any sort of humor, but it's not something that you can just spout off in a moment of heated sort of emotion and get other people to like sign on to the people that will be there to sort of resist that.
The important thing is that we are able to speak our minds. I think everybody can agree on that. I think Charlie Kirk would have agreed on that actually. But you know, to see the initial reaction, particularly from the left, because once again, they're showing how intimidated they can be. There was an MSNBC correspondent, or I don't know if they're one of those people they hire as an expert or whatever, who basically said something to the effect of hateful thoughts result in hateful words, which result in hateful actions. And that was interpreted as blaming Charlie Kirk's assassination on Charlie Kirk. I didn't really see it that way. I saw it as saying these things do work in steps, and it does. You know, there was an episode of All in the Family many, many years ago. I suggest finding it, where Mike Meathead was talking to this. I think he was an IRA guy from the local bar, and I remember the closing scene where he basically said to him, "Yeah, you know, I hear where you're coming from and all that, but this," holding up his fist, "only gets you this." And he held up his other fist. And in the next scene, the guy was blown up in his car. Yeah, All in the Family, great comedy. But in that particular case, I remember that it ended with no audience reaction at all. That's the same message. The same message is that hateful rhetoric gets you hatred in return. Sometimes it's hatred behind you, but sometimes it's hatred in front of you. So we all have to learn to temper the way that we express what could be seen as passionate opinions and controversial opinions. I'm not saying don't express your controversial opinions, but understand that if you're condemning people, individuals, well, those people are going to have something to say as well. And regretfully, it's not always in the form of words. And I think that's really what that guy was saying, and for MSNBC to immediately fire him, I think that's cowardice. And if you look at what Trump said is far, far worse. He immediately blamed an entire group of people. He blamed half the population of the United States. He blamed anyone who didn't vote for him. This guy is a tyrant. He's out of control. And he is going to bring down so much that is good about this country. And so much more if we don't rise up and stop him in one way or another. That is all in the Constitution, okay? That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I hope nobody is intimidated into being silent. You know, yeah, I wouldn't stand on a table in a bar and start spouting your opinion, but don't give up. You know, don't say that there's no more freedom of expression. There certainly is. It's because there's freedom of expression that these people are so angry and feel so threatened. You have to use it now because it's never mattered more. You know, there was another case with our local newspaper, Newsday. There was a cartoon that they ran. You know, I saw the cartoon. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't really describe it perfectly. But it basically was a drawing of the table Charlie Kirk was at, stained with blood, that said something, his statement proved me wrong. And there was nobody there, except for the blood. And, you know, I felt something when I saw that. I felt that's, you know, that's kind of stirring. That this is what we've devolved to. But somebody in the local Republican Party, I'm not going to say who, but there's a lot of right-wing fascists out there, some of whom lead Nassau County, some of whom lead other things, who decided that this meant that they were ridiculing Charlie Kirk. And I just, you know, I'm trying to see that, and I don't see it. But that's all Newsday had to hear. They immediately apologized. They got rid of the cartoon. And they are looking over their shoulders now. And that is not how you defend free press. I'm sorry. I mean, if the cartoon was that offensive, but, you know, it ran nationally, and embarrassingly enough, this part of the country seems to be the only part of the country that's complaining about it, just because some Republican people decided it was offensive. I don't think they even understood it. So that's the kind of thing that we're dealing with here. As I mentioned, people are getting fired for what they're saying. Some people might deserve it. I don't know. Some people say truly horrible things. And if you say it with your real name or represent a company, yeah, you know, there's going to be ramifications for that. That's always been the case. It's nothing to be proud of. This is Off the Wall here on WUSB. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd like to hear your opinions. Again, horrible thing that happened last week. Truly wish it didn't happen. And I don't know what direction we're going to be heading in now, but I do know civil discourse is the way forward. And not jumping to conclusions and interpreting the facts. Realize that there are people who know how to twist the facts and make something appear to be something it's not. And know that these are the actions of one lone individual. At least that's how it appears right now. There are people saying, yeah, that there's proof that this is the work of the far right. There's a statement. Actually, I don't have it. I printed it out. Kyle, could you get the thing I forgot to get from the printer down the hall, up the stairs, and around the corner? It's a quote I wanted to read, and you know I printed it out. I don't want to have to waste all that ink and paper.
Okay, but ask nicely.
Please, Kyle. Please, we all are asking nicely. That happens sometimes in the passion of the moment. But you know there are people desperately trying to prove that it's somebody on the right. People desperately trying to prove it's somebody on the left. But in reality, what it's likely going to turn out to be is that it's one person who, for whatever reason, got triggered to do this horrible thing. And, you know, if you want to attach easy access to guns, yeah, I suppose that's true, too. But good luck changing that in a place like Utah, Arizona, wherever this guy's from. Kyle's taking a little extra time to get the piece of paper that I printed out. Well, anyway, the point is, there are people who believe that Charlie Kirk was not right-wing enough. There's a whole bit of drama going on the other side of the political spectrum in his group, in the Turning Point USA group, where basically there were people who felt that he was not right-wing enough. That by talking to people, he was doing a disservice. And that's something that I don't think we're looking at enough, or just realizing enough. All right, moving on. There is an election coming up. I don't know what happened to Kyle. There's an election coming up this this November in New York City. Long Island Democrats Tom Suozzi and Laura Gillen are being taunted by Speaker Mike Johnson's GOP political arm for having no plan to stop the dangerous Zohran Mamdani from becoming New York City's mayor. I'm reading that as it was written. Yes, the dangerous Zohran Mamdani. Both are very publicly seeking to distance themselves from the Democratic Socialist, who in June decisively won their party's primary to be the Big Apple's mayor, and who polls show as a front runner in the November general election by like 20 points. Well, the paper wasn't in there. So did I forget to even print it?
Yeah, I even reset it because I think there was like a toner message, but nothing came out. So it must have been lost in the shuffle.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. I had it the whole time. It was in my red pile, and I didn't read it.
So I'm doing all this like office stuff? Oh, wow. That's compelling radio.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm only human.
People are trying to listen to something compelling and interesting on their way home.
Kyle, the admonitions, they come at 7:10, okay? In the break room.
I'm just saying. Geez,
let me finish this story. Then I'll get to the quote.
Get a grip.
So you got these two cowards here, Suozzi and Gillen, who want more than anything to distance themselves from Mamdani, and are basically doing what the Republicans tell them. And meanwhile, our Governor Kathy Hochul, has endorsed him because that's the smart thing to do. This political analyst said that Mamdani is the best thing to happen to Republicans since the election of President Ronald Reagan. Every time he speaks, another suburban Republican is born. Oh, nonsense. That's veteran New York Democratic political consultant Hank Scheinkopf. Sorry, I don't think you know what you're talking about. Look, Mamdani is to the left of these center Democrats who are practically indistinguishable from Republicans, except for their voting record. He is not afraid to speak his mind, remind you of somebody. He's not afraid to try something different. He's not afraid to engage with the people. But most of all, he's a damn good candidate who can enunciate and has passion. And boy, is that what the Democrats need. You idiots should be embracing him. Not living in fear. What you should be living in fear is yourselves being the same over and over and over again. For God's sake, what is it going to take to realize that doesn't work? Try this. Try something else. Support this. Even if you don't agree. Look, Hochul got it right when she said, I'm going to passionately disagree with a bunch of things here. But we are stronger when we work together. That is the lesson the Democrats need to learn. You're different. You're all different. Some people believe something. Some people believe something else. Some people are pro-Israel, while others are pro-Palestine. Some people are both. Some people are neither. It's a big tent. Remember that? So if you embrace all of that and you accept that, you don't have to be at loggerheads. You don't have to be destroying each other. Because in the end, you're going to support everybody in that tent, and you'll be stronger, and you'll have more Americans on your side. Really, it shouldn't take me to say that. So, yeah, you're going to see a bunch of Democrats who are panicking as the race draws closer. I believe Adams is going to drop out this week. I mean, look at his numbers. What, 6%? 6%. And you're the mayor. You're the guy who is in power right now. Mondani is what, 20 points ahead of Cuomo? And then you got Curtis Sliwa, who's a funny guy, by the way. I talked to Curtis Sliwa on this radio station many years ago, I think 1981. When he was in a police station after some guardian angels got arrested and he was bailing them out, literally live on the air. It's USB cutting radio. It's going to be interesting, this election coming up, and hopefully transformative. Hopefully it teaches people a thing or two. All right, very, very quickly, I've got to read this this quote from the lunatic Laura Loomer. Yes, triple L there. She said this about Charlie Kirk only a few weeks ago. I don't ever want to hear Charlie Kirk claim he is pro-Trump ever again. After this weekend, I'd say he has revealed himself as political opportunist, and I've had a front row seat to witness the mental gymnastics these last 10 years. Lately, Charlie has decided to behave like a charlatan, claiming to be pro-Trump one day while he stabs Trump in the back the next. Turning Point USA was only able to thrive thanks to the generosity of President Trump. On the one-year anniversary of the assassination attempt on Trump's life, Charlie hosted comic Dave Smith at Turning Point USA's SAS conference, where Dave Smith was able to speak to a bunch of conservative youth at an organization that claims to be pro-Trump. 3 weeks ago, Dave Smith called for President Trump to be impeached and removed from office over his decision to blow up Iran's nuclear facilities. Charlie played both sides of the Iran issue on his show, as we all saw, because he wants to play to both sides of the aisle. The honorable thing to do is to have a position and actually defend it to the death instead of flip-flopping. Unfortunate phrase there. Smith said all of MAGA should turn on Trump and abandon him. He said this 3 weeks ago. Turning Point USA is definitely not pro-Trump. If they were, they certainly aren't anymore. Out of all the incredible pro-Trump voices out there who support the president, Charlie decided to host Dave Smith. It really is shameful, and I'm honestly disgusted by the nonstop flip-flopping on the right. Yeah, little interesting bit of news there. Laura Loomer, her remarks on Charlie Kirk only a few weeks ago. That's going to have to be the last word, unfortunately. OTW@2600.com. That's our email address. We will see you next week.
Have a laugh.
Good night, everyone. Stay peaceful. Thank you.
Thank you.